Hey, this is Ahmed Zappa, and you're listening to Tom and Zeus on the Shouted Out Loudcast. In my opinion, the number one Kiss podcast in the world. And if you don't like this show, then fuck you.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oi.
This is Gene Simmons.
Put that cookie down.
Kiss.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Broker Simmons.
Star?
Stop shouting!
He's not what you would call a handsome man. Oh no, here come the Kiss talks.
Is that a positive thing?
Okay.
Alright.
I'm gonna grab me an ice cold mellow yellow.
Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck them.
What are you talking about?
617-525-0850.
Yes. Settle down.
Hello. Hey, what's up there, Kiss Army? Tom and Zeus in another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast. Episode 269, Sirius XM's Keith Roth.
Yeah, all right. My favorite Sirius XM DJ, Ozzy's Boneyard and Hair Nation. Fun times with Keith.
Super fun time, would you say?
It's a super terrific happy fun hour with Keith Roth.
Wow. Yep.
Yep.
I know you're a huge fan of his in Sirius Satellite. So we're excited to have him, and it's going to be a lot of fun talking with him, all sorts of subject matters. So
yes, we cover it all. Good times. Yep.
It's a nice, good, long conversation. So let's get into last week's episode as we normally do. We take a look at what we discussed last week and get feedback. Last week, we did the ARC new album song Madness Tournament preview that we always do. And this one's a little different because it wasn't really a Kiss-specific topic, but that is the March Madness is from Shout It Out Loudcast. So go ahead, buddy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, exactly. So every year we do March Madness. This year got started a little bit late just because of our lineup of great guests, and they take priority with scheduling. So it starts a little bit late, but and of course, like Zeus said, it's ARC songs, no Kiss stuff. So we figured we'd kind of spread the love to all those albums that we've done. And as always, we do a poll. The poll is which of these songs is the best one who didn't make the poll. So we picked one from a couple of artists here. We picked King Nothing from Metallica, Find the River from REM, Mean Street from Van Halen, and New Sensation from NXS. We know our audience, and of course, Mean Street crushed it. 54%, King Nothing at 17, New Sensation at 16, Find the River at 12. So
bad. The rest of the three were pretty close, but
yeah, it's actually not bad at all.
Van Halen stomped it.
Yeah, Van Halen stomped it as usual. And by the time this episode drops, we will be knee-deep in the first round of the polls, which is pretty exciting. So we hope everybody got their brackets in time so we can have some fun with this.
Wait a minute, Tom. Why is all the one Kiss song forever in the brackets?
Oh. Dude, that stupid fucking douchebag. I explained that to her. She goes, fuck it. Blah. I said, no. That's Forever by Y&T. There are no Kiss songs. So she responded, so what you're saying is you picked a shitty song. So I responded. I'm like, you know what? You seem really fun. You should contribute more with your knowledgeable and witty banter. You fucking douche. I mean, really, just enough. Don't get me going. Don't get me going already on a rant. I can't do it. I can't handle it. I can't
shit on some of these fucking people.
I can't.
I mean, they're just.
I can't do it.
People just. It's the internet. It's social media.
Well, it's that combined with our zero patience tolerance level.
People, hey, how do I submit this? I don't know. Fucking, we've explained it to people. It's on our episode. It's in the fucking actual picture. Yeah, you see, you're commenting on a fucking screenshot of it.
Which reminds me of one of my favorite pieces of feedback, our comment on Twitter. Our buddy Andy, he commented strictly with a GIF of a woman saying, stop yelling at me. Because that's all we fucking do. Hey, here's my bracket. This was really tough. Dipshit, did you fucking really pick numbers in your bracket? You didn't do this. You really didn't do this, did you?
Canceled. Out.
Yeah,
you're thrown out. I didn't even look at it.
Anyways, let's get to a couple comments here. Tennessee Duke. When Zeus referred to the Cinderella Tesla battle, he said, quote, one is less glammy than the other. I wonder which one he thinks is less. Tesla was never glammy, but by Cinderella's third album, they were almost straight blues. Okay, well, Tennessee Duke, you answered your own question. It was Cinderella that we were referring to. I know.
I know. Dude, I know. It's called sarcasm. Obviously, Cinderella was more glammy than Tesla on their debut albums.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
For Christ's sake, Powell, it could be a fucking bartender. Oh, God. All right. Our buddy Tom Dust, who we have to give credit because, sorry, we're remiss at giving you credit for our amazing theme music, Tom Dust. His bracket was friggin' awesome. I'm not going to spoil what he picked, but I was very excited to see his bracket. We got a comment here from Aggie Dad and Tiger Grad. Fun brackets to fill out. As much as I love Billy Squire, he went against some heavy hitters. And as much as I dislike Rush, Tom Sawyer slays. That's the smartest thing you've ever said. And we got a comment here from Jerry Carey. He says, spoiler, Unchained wins every matchup by double digits until it gets to the final four. Then it defeats Crazy Train. Unchained is dominant in the championship regardless. I don't know. We're seeing a lot of bracket submissions. We said this when we started this. It's going to be very interesting, but I am seeing a lot of trending towards Van Halen and Ozzy. So it's going to be interesting. But that's what we got for Twitter, Zeus.
Yeah, the feedback on this has been kind of, we're still getting it. And most of the feedback is basically people submitting their brackets. So
right.
It's not going to be much, and this will be really quick.
Yep.
So we have Jason Ward in here, says that he loves the idea of us changing it up a bit. Yeah, we want to make it exciting. We want the same shit every fucking year. Guess what? Detroit Rock City won again. You know, come on.
And guess what? We already have next year's already planned. And I credit to Zeus. You'll find out a year from now what it is, but that should be pretty badass.
Yeah. Brad Rustelman. I thought this was a Kiss podcast. Only Kiss songs. Lonely is the Night. Modern Day Cowboy. Hard pass.
I love
and
that.
And he had a picture of that fucking stupid shit.
Hey,
you got everybody to fucking start posting shit about it.
How is Land of the Lost not part of your childhood? I don't understand how you don't even know that.
I remember what it was, but I didn't like it. It was stupid. I'd rather.
Were you scared of the Sleestaks?
I don't.
Were you scared?
The fact that you know that shit.
Of course I know that.
Jesus. George is getting upset. Anyways, some of these brackets are fun and interesting, and some of these people that know how to enjoy themselves and get it.
One of the things we saw with a lot of brackets, as usual, this one probably more so, was picking to win the prize pack sponsored by Gene Simmons Money Bag Stores, or picking what you want, because that's obviously two very different things. We deal with that every year with the Kiss brackets, but a lot of people like, I don't want this song to win, but I think it's going to win, so here's my bracket, you know?
Ugh.
Uh-oh.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yes, hey, you can.
How do I enter? I listened to the show. Wasn't clear. Do I just put my picks on? I'm not even going to say his name because I don't want the guy to get
How pumped. Could it not be clear? We spent like fucking 20 minutes with the directions. Now, if any of you are wondering why Zeus and I never pursued a career in the education field, imagine us being a classroom teacher.
Dude, I coach, so that's something.
And you freaking yell at the kids and then take them to Hooters. you fucking scream at the kids and then take them to a strip bar.
The amount of fucking shit I say, like, thank God most parents don't hear it. Like, how fucking stupid do you have to be? Seriously, I've had stupid kids on this team before, but thank God you're running away with the prize this year, brother. Good luck. Anyways, Charles, don't call me Mark Eaton.
Yeah.
Talk dirty to me up against Monkey Biz. Nobody's Fool takes on Kiss of Death. Smooth Up in Ya against Let's Go Crazy. Welcome to the Jungle versus Loving You's a Dirty Job. Ouch.
Yep.
The Boston and LA regionals were tough. I'm just sad that I have to push Even Flow and Alive through the second round matchups due to the seeding mishaps. Seattle regional was weak with so much grunt not spread out over the three other three brackets. This was fun, already looking forward to next year's.
Nice. Yep.
All right. Over on Loudcasters, the great Bruce Foudy. Thanks, guys, for the huge shout-out. I'm proud to be a member of this crazy-ass group. Can't wait to send you guys my winning bracket by carrier pigeon like you guys requested.
Yeah, nice. and Bruce sent us a cool picture. You got a shout-out Loudcast shirt. Check out his podcast, Hooked on Sonic. Thanks, Bruce, for the support, buddy.
Yep. Thank you. And then there's some more fucking, what do you call these people? Slezics?
Slesbians. Sleestacks.
Put up by Aaron Nirenberg. He put those up.
Yep.
Joey, fucking miserable Ray Romano stubble, paint my jeans and then fucking iron them, Romanic.
Is this the comment where he bitches about the bracket?
I don't know. Which one is it? It could be this one. It could be his email. It could be his text to us. It could be his fucking post on Twitter or his fucking Loudcasters post or his Facebook post. Somewhere along there's one of those ones where he's bitching about something. Ooh, what the fuck? What the fuck happened to you? I don't know. But you turning into a miserable fuck.
You know what happened to him? He's listening to us. That's what happened.
Fucking used to be the comics. Next time I see your video up on fucking line about buying a house with fucking a horseshoe fucking game in the backyard. Hey, this is Joey Romanek. Do you like tire swings? Check out this quiet four bedroom back here. And they got Kiss memorabilia in the backyard. I'm going to take photos of it and get my license revoked.
Hey, Dad, how'd you like to go fishing?
How'd you like to sell real estate this weekend? I'm going to connect you with Joey Romanek. Not the greatest realtor in the Tampa Bay, Fort Lauderdale area, wherever the fuck he lives.
It's America's favorite realtor, goddammit. Where else are you going to buy a $4 million home if he's not selling it to you?
And if you buy this house, I'll sell you the box set of my TV show, Everybody Loves Raymond Romero.
Hey, I don't think I'm going to win the fucking first round. Hey, this second round, people, is fucking difficult.
What the fuck, Joey? What happened to you?
See, this is what happened. This is how we show love. We spend 5 minutes ranting against one of our listeners. This is what we do.
Fucking Joey.
Make sure it's clear, because people could be thinking we're talking about Joey Quesada, because we bitch about him too.
Now I got to drop his stupid fucking thing in.
Fuck him and his music.
I know Joey Quesada.
Dude, if there's one guy who's been whoring himself out on the internet. Oh. I don't know one fucking podcast that he hasn't been on in the last 2 weeks.
No.
I see his ugly mug everywhere.
And it's funny, too, because when he introduces himself and he does his plugs, he says, just to let you guys know, I'm a shout-out Loudcast Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he needs to be saying that because that's his biggest fucking claim to fame.
It's his biggest accomplishment.
Yeah, it's not playing on Ace's album.
You played on Ace's album? No one cares. Where are you, a Hall of Fame member?
Yeah, exactly, right? And you think he'd be boasting about Raise Your Glasses, the book that he's writing with us.
No.
That should be his first fucking thing.
No.
No, he's but he's not.
He's fired. You know what? He's fired.
He's too busy talking about his spaghetti-like hairdo and whatever products he puts in there.
Who is BO5 hot oil treatment?
And his rock and roll jeans he bought at the mall.
You know what would be funny? What if Joey Quesada and Joey Romanek did a podcast and you can learn how to have pressed jeans and slick hair? And it could be, you could have
he
it be called
them at the rock and roll store at the mall.
It could be the rock and roll real estate podcast with the two Joeys.
Who would be working on what the longest? Would Joey Quesada be straightening out his hair longer than Joey Romanek ironing his jeans? What's going to be straighter?
That'll be Quesada's
hair or Joey Romanek's?
You know what?
Tight
jeans. That'll be our poll for the week next week.
Joey Romanek's tight jeans and Joey Quesada's hairdo.
Yeah, what's better? What takes longer to get perfect?
Which one would you have if you had a pinata? Would you want to fucking bash more? Joey Quesada or Joey Romanek?
So let me just say this. This is what happens when feedback is light on Shouted Out Loudcast.
Exactly.
You give us no outlet to rant. So now we have to pick at people.
Joey Quesada. And his fucking rock and roll jeans.
Oh, God.
Hey, can I have that scarf back that you pleasantly tied around your fucking jeans?
Yeah. So hey, Chachi, give me that thing back.
Exactly. I know you're an extra in Happy Days with that having that bandana around your fucking jeans, but can I have that back and give it to my dog? Fuck.
Oh, I gotta catch my breath. I'm gonna fucking die.
Quesada and fucking Joey. I'm bitching all fucking week, Roman.
Welcome to Rock and Roll Real Estate with the two Joeys.
Hi, I'm your rock and roll realtor, Joey Romanek. If you buy this house today, you will get the Danger Danger box set. We'll send you on a Monsters of Rock cruise. First prize is you don't have to go.
Oh, man.
Dude, I think our host is like a host on the Monsters of Rock Roots.
City. Oh, that's okay. We were teasing him about that. He's not a big fan of some of that music himself. He tells us that.
We have fellow podcasters that fucking love that shit. Good fucking Lord.
I don't think Keith Roth is pumping his fist when he's playing Nelson on Hair Nation, okay? I mean, I don't think so. Oh, sorry.
Fucking Nitro really pumps his nads. All right, Tom. I got one comment over here from YouTube. And that's from Marty White. A few summers ago, I was in the pool with my girlfriend who has a steroid problem and is built like Lou Ferrigno. At some point, she said, that shadow down there looks like a slee stack. What's a slee stack? I asked. She yelled that it was from Land of the Lost. I've never seen it, I said. We'll see it now, she shouted. She grabbed my head, forced it underwater, cackling like a sorceress. So, Zeus, don't feel bad that you don't know what that is. You're better off not knowing. You're better off not knowing near a pool where you confess that. I thought you were going to say she grabbed your head, put your head underneath, and farted on your fucking head. Like you did when you were a kid. You grab your little cousin, like, hey, bruh. But that's all right. I got, Tom. Over to you.
All right. Let's wrap up feedback with a post in Loudcasters from our good buddy, the Greek Thunder from Down Under, Thanis Akratidis, posting a picture of him wearing a Shouted Out Loudcast shirt. And he's at a festival in Sydney, some kind of a rock and roll festival with a, I don't know if Joey Quesada was there or not, but it was a rock show. And he was proudly displaying his Shouted Out Loudcast shirt and taking pictures of all the cool shit there that he knew that me and Zeus would like. So this week's comment of the week is a post of the week. And Thanis, my friend, you are it.
Good answer. Good answer. I like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Yeah, thank you, Thanis. Much appreciated. He's always commenting, putting up good and fun and interesting stuff. And there he is. He was telling us that people were going up to him. Hey, yep. I love that show. That's fucking awesome. And yep. He got to meet Scott Donaldson, apparently, Tom.
That's right. The fox from Kisteria. Yep.
Yep. And so, Thanis, thank you for that, brother. We greatly appreciate that post and greatly appreciate you.
Absolutely.
And what we also appreciate, Tom, is Patreon. Mm-hmm. Patreon is where people can come and help and contribute to the show so that the show can grow. This week, we have another Patreon member that's just joined. His name is Greg Sechrist. And I hope I'm saying that correctly, Greg. You joined as a Star Child member.
Yes.
So, Greg, thank you so much for contributing and helping out the show. And if you want to help out the show and become a member of Patreon, please go to our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com. on the landing page, you'll see a link there to Patreon. Click on that. We have four different tiers at four different levels. Pick one that you want to join. And when you do join, you have different tiers with different membership perks. So you have the demon, the star child, the spaceman, and the catman, each with different perks, different monetary contributions. You get things from anywhere from t-shirts, stickers, feedback involvement, post involvement, a sneak peek to videos that we put out before they go public. I just put out the second Ace video that we did from our interview, and they got to see that firsthand. ARC involvement, the March Madness involvement, Flashback Friday involvement, tons of stuff, video chats, and more. So please come and help the show. Join our Patreon family. There's well over 100 people already in here. Come join, have fun, and help the show out. And thank you for all those, specifically Greg, that just joined. And we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. We love our Patreon family, all the longtime members, all the brand new members like Greg. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much. Tons to offer. Please check us out, patreon.com. Search for us on the app or click on the link on our website, shoutoutloudcast.com, and join the family. Thank you to all.
Yeah, Tom, what we do next is we go over to Kiss World.
Yep.
And Kiss World has quite a few things popping up. What do you want to start with?
Yeah, so it's funny because it's like Kiss member news. It's not like the band news. So I think the first thing we'll tackle is the thing that's been buzzing around everywhere. And that's kind of the drama, unfortunately, with Ace Frehley and Steve Brown and 10,000 Volts and songwriting credit, guitar playing credit. It's kind of getting, unfortunately, ugly. And, you know, it's a shame because everybody was so excited for the album. Everybody was so excited to hear from Steve and from Ace. And of course, they were on our show and gave us a great interview. And it's just kind of getting ugly. And, you know, it's typical Ace. He'll bash somebody and say something, and then he'll be like, but I love the guy. He's like a brother to me. Like, it's kind of getting exhausting, Zeus.
Yeah. The thing that annoys me is we had Ace and Steve on.
Right.
So you want the truth? There it is. Because neither one of them corrected the other. They said what they did. They talked about it. No one had a problem with what Steve said because Ace heard it.
Yep.
Steve didn't have a problem with what Ace said because he heard that. That's the truth of the matter. Who did what? Honestly, I don't give a fuck.
But I don't
some
either.
People, because it's fucking Kiss.
No, because it's Ace.
And because it's clickbait heaven and all the clickbait whores out there have to fucking stir up shit so people can go, oh, what the fuck? Oh, my God. Do you hear it? Just before I came on, I saw our new video. Now, Pepe Castro. Hey, this is my buddy, Pepe Castro.
Yep.
He's all bullshit. Yep. Who's this guy, Steve Brown? I don't like what I'm seeing. And what I'm seeing is it seems like everyone's starting to fucking sandbag Steve and try to make him to be the asshole. Why?
I'll tell you why, Zeus. And again, this is my Tom's personal opinion here. It's because it's Ace, and everything Ace does gets toxic. Everything he does gets toxic.
But he doesn't get the blame for it.
That's my point.
Pisses me off.
Because everybody worships Ace.
It's baked in. Like, oh, it's Ace. He can get away with that shit, and that's what's annoying to people.
Yep.
With Ace, Tom, it's just baked in. He's lovable, Ace. Dude, how about holding him to account?
Well, he's saying
as an adult and fucking hold him at his words. Dude, he stirred that up. Yeah, I heard that Steve was going around saying he did 90%. Like, dude, that's not what he was saying, dude. He brought in a lot of that material and you worked on it with him. It's a fucking collaborative effort. What's the fucking problem? The album doesn't say Ace and Steve Brown, 10,000 volts.
You want to hear a quote from Ace? This is a quote from Ace. Quote, everybody sometimes toots their own horn a little more than they should without thinking. That's him talking about the guy who made his fucking record the most popular ace record that he's had in years. And that's the thanks that he gets. I'm sorry. I love Ace and Steve and those guys, but it gets toxic. It gets ugly. It gets nasty. And then he follows it up by saying, oh, but I love the guy. I love the guy. Well, you know, that's like when you shit on Peter or you shit on Gene. Oh, but I love the guy.
I'm a very good lyricist, Fraley said.
Okay.
I've always been.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, man. What are you talking about, buddy?
It's getting ugly, and it's going, and it's everywhere. It's every time you go on Ultimate Classic Rock, Loud or Sound, Loudwire, Blabbermouth, there's a new fucking quote, a new story.
So the other crazy thing he says is, we didn't use auto-tuning like some people are saying. I have perfect pitch, so I can tell if someone's singing flat. I just redo it. Perfect pitch.
You know, and then after he spends half of this interview, and we'll give credit to that, the metal voice, you know, good show, good YouTube channel, good social media presence. He says, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't really matter who does what, as long as the end result is what I want, what Steve wants. So as far as you're concerned, it doesn't matter who did what, but you just spent 20 minutes bashing Steve and saying that you were upset about what he said, but it doesn't matter.
Because he has no concept or publicist to say, dude, don't even bring this up. Why? But he doesn't care because it's in the news and it doesn't affect him. It's baked in with Ace.
Yep. You're
right. Everyone knows who fucking get away with this stupid shit. But it's bullshit because they're fucking sandbagging the guy.
Yep.
Steve's not going around saying, oh, yeah, I did everything here. No, he didn't. Ace is the one he's fucking giving credit. He helped him out. He brought in stuff to him. Fucking it is what it is. So all the Pepe Castro's and Ace comments, I don't know if it's his girlfriend now. I don't know who's saying to Ace. I don't like what Steve is getting a lot of credit for this.
Like, yeah, it's ugly. Down,
you know?
Well, let's move to another annoying member of KISS. let's go to our buddy Paul, who posts a picture on Twitter. Our first vacation since the end of the road. The Royal at Atlantis in Dubai is spectacular in every way. Amazing architectural design, fantastic service, shopping, staff, restaurants, beaches, and water park. Absolutely blown away. Atlantis is superb. This takes it to another level. Now, sorry, we posted on social media how unbelievably fucking tone deaf he is that you're referencing Dubai when you fucked everybody on the Dubai merch. And now I understand we had a lot of people chime in. There are make rights. Doc McGee is sending people merch. Some people got like a meet and greet backstage thing. I get it. Fine. But it's still people have to work their asses off to get those make rights from the Dubai fuck up. Now, the thing that I love about this is, of course, I go right to the comments. Oh, enjoy. Have a great time. You should have a great time. This is going to be amazing. And then our buddy Nige, pick up your DVDs while you're there. Our buddy LP, free stuff is awesome. Our buddy Andy, can you grab my Dubai merch while you're there? Then it's like, have fun. Have a great time. You deserve it. This is amazing. I hope you have a wonderful vacation.
Dude, that's part of the free package he gets. Can you please, you have to publicize that you're here and how wonderful it is.
I get it.
For your flight and shit.
Why,
I get it.
Why is he keep going to fucking Dubai? Why?
Because it's free. Well, and he's getting credit for it.
Anyways, I say this during our interview with Keith Roth. I love the Star Child. I can't stand Paul Stanley. I just can't. I just fucking can't. Now, let's talk about a KISS member, former member that we do love. And that is the great Bruce Kulick, who has announced.
Hey, guys. Bruce Kulick. Waffle Sundays. Ever try one?
Oh, yeah. It was like National Waffle Day or whatever. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, good for him. He is touring this spring/summer. He's going to Finland. So maybe he's going to hang out with our buddy Jani Aslak Rossinen and Esa Tiikkanen and Reijo Ruotsalainen and all them.
Teemu Selanne.
Yeah, I think they're all Finnish guys. But anyway, so Bruce has some dates in Finland. Looks like a couple festivals. So here's my theory, and I have absolutely no inside information on this. You got Gene doing a Europe tour. You got Bruce going to Finland. This is what I think. I think they're going to Europe. I think they're doing these as like a test drive. And then they're going to come back to the States, and something's going to happen. That's what I think is going to happen.
Who knows? You know, I did see something.
I hope. It's wishful thinking.
Gene said he's not going to ever put on the makeup. No, if you read the article, Gene says he's not putting on the makeup while he's touring for himself.
Correct.
He didn't say Kiss won't put up the makeup. He's like telling people, yeah, I'm not going to be wearing my wake makeup on the Gene Simmons tour. Of course
right.
not.
Right.
So, I mean, that's not a fucking groundbreaking statement.
It's just exciting for me personally because my two favorite members, Gene and Bruce, are active and touring and doing some stuff. So that's exciting. But other than that, in terms of Kiss the band, they're just selling $1,000 box sets on their websites about it. So,
oh, my vault came in, Tom.
Oh,
I should have brought it here so you could see it. Maybe I'll do it later when we tape tonight.
I haven't ordered mine yet, but I will. I will. The CD sold out, the actual the book, but the vault with the action figure thing, the coin, the book, CDs, it looks fantastic.
And the safe.
Yeah, and the silly safe.
And my cats are already loving it. They're on top of it, fucking around on it and stuff.
I heard it's pretty decent size. It's not small.
I haven't taken it out of the box yet, Tom.
Okay.
But you know, they dropped it off and said it finally got delivered late last night. It finally saw it. Oh shit, it did get delivered. I go outside, the box is soaking wet.
Oh,
I'm
no.
like, you motherfuckers. But thank you. Thankfully, it was well packed. There was a couple boxes, so it didn't get wet inside. So
nice. Cool.
But anyway. Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Let's take a little break. While we're taking a break, Ace has a couple things to say. I want to make a public service announcement. My friend Pepe Castro is speaking on his own behalf. He's not speaking on behalf of Ace Frehley or anybody else from the Ace Frehley camp. So please disregard if he's getting a little bit frisky or angry or anything like that. Plus, he owes me a Friendly's Fribble from back when we were kids and never paid me back. I really love those Fribbles. Do you remember that strawberry Fribble at Friendly's we used to get, Tom? Delicious.
Hello, Pantheon podcast listeners. Christian Swain here to tell you more about my experience with Raycon earbuds. Our family now has three pairs of Raycon earbuds around the house, and my wife just grabbed a pair of the Headphone Pros to replace some headphones from a company that was double the price. And yes, she loves them. Now, if you haven't pulled the trigger on a pair of Raycons, or even if you have, but you're in the market for another pair because they're just that good, well, now is the time to check them out. Because they just launched their upgraded model of the best-selling everyday earbuds. With Raycon's upgraded everyday earbuds, now you also get active noise cancellation, ergonomic design, and multi-point connectivity that lets you pair with two devices at once. New quick charge function, three customizable sound styles plus awareness mode, available in a variety of vibrant new colors to complement any and all skin tones. I even have a pair of earbuds in a cool green color. I have tried just about every earbud known to humankind, and these Raycons are fantastic. Seriously, if you've been wanting to check out Raycons, there truly is no better time. You're going to ask yourself why you didn't check them out sooner, and Raycon offers a 30-day happiness guarantee. So what are you waiting for? Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order, plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month, so just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
Okay, we're back, and I was talking to Ace about the Fribbles, and I had to remind him of his favorite menu item from Friendly's, and it's the fantastic Jim Dandy that came with four bananas. You know what? I'm a big fan. big fan of that. Four bananas, couple crushed nuts. I think they used to put cashews or peanuts. Not really sure. Hey, Jim Nandy, great song. I'm a big fan of that band, too.
Those banana ones, like the banana split sundaes and shit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Friendlies, they're all, almost out of business, except there's one in Marlboro next to me.
Yeah. I got real problems when I go there. That hot fudge goes right through me.
And I used to like those Carvel ice creams with Pussy Puss, whatever the fuck it's called.
Oh, my favorite was Fudgy the Whale. Cookie Puss. Cookie Puss was another favorite. Fudgy the Whale. That's what they used to call me on the tour bus. My nickname was Fudgy the Whale because I had a couple problems.
You know how it gets when you have that loose ice cream? I started getting loose on the tour bus. Oh, shit. If I didn't make it in the back, look out.
I once dated a girl. I called her Cookie Pussy. It's fucking fantastic. Oh, Jesus, what are we doing? Do we have a topic this week? Oh, that's right. We have a great guest.
Oh. She'd be like, thanks for the introduction. My mom listened to the show.
Yeah, that's right.
Who are these people talking about Cookie Pussy? Anyway, Tom, we have the great Keith Roth from SiriusXM on the show. Fucking awesome conversation. Super excited to present this to you. What do you have to say before we send it over?
I've been a huge fan of him for years. I've been a SiriusXM subscriber since 2008, and Keith has always been my favorite DJ on there. I think he's hilarious. He's got a great voice, huge kind of rock fan, loves everything. We get into all of it here. We veer off into all different topics. You guys are going to have a blast.
Without further ado, Keith Roth.
All right, this week we got a special guest. He's one of my, or should I say, my favorite SiriusXM DJ. You know him from Ozzy's Boneyard. You know him from Hair Nation, which coincidentally are my two favorite stations. And he's a lead singer and a guitarist with the bands The Dictators, Frankenstein 3000. He is the man. He's in the house tonight. Keith Roth, what's up, brother?
Woo! It's good to be with you guys, man. Fellow fans, I mean, you know, loving the Boston sports. I love the New York sports. And look at this. We're one big family, you know, having a great time hanging out, talking about KISS and whatever the hell else happens, you know?
That's right. KISS crosses all borders. That's right, baby.
They do. They absolutely do. They absolutely do. But it's an honor to be on your podcast. I've heard nothing but great things about you guys for years. So
appreciate it, man.
Make it on Shout It Out Loud is going to be sick cool.
Appreciate it, man. I've been following satellite radio for 15, 16 years, and I was telling Zeus, I'm like, we got to get Keith on. He's the DJ on my two favorite channels I listen to. He's a friggin' riot, and he loves KISS. We got to have a good time with him. So thrilled that you're here, buddy.
Did you buy the Lifetime subscription many years ago?
No, I didn't, because at the time I didn't think I was going to still have it. So I've been paying per month for 16 years. Yep.
I mean, anybody that's listening that long, I usually ask, but
yeah, I should have, but I had no idea that I'd still be doing this year, all this time later.
Neither did I, man.
Yeah.
It's funny, Tom, when you gave that intro, I was like, shit, we're going to have Eddie Trunkle back on again?
You can't insult our guest.
I'm just joking. You said, oh, my favorite satellite Sirius.
Eddie Trunk does everything. I only know Keith from SiriusXM.
I'm joking.
I know how much
you fucking don't shut up about Keith. So I was like, all right, let me email him. We'll get him on. Let's go.
I love you guys, man. You know, Eddie's a great friend. I've known him for, you know, longer than I even want to share. But he's always been the most he's really seriously what you hear on the radio. That's him off the air. I mean, I ran into him at an airport. We started talking about something music related. Next thing you know, we almost fucking missed our flights. You know, he's talking about some UFO thing. Next thing you know, it's like, you know, I met him when he first worked in a record store, and all the great stuff he's been doing in radio for so many years. And bless the guy, man. I love him.
Yeah. Good he's been on the show a bunch of times. We got to hang out with him in Vegas last year for a while. So yeah, we're honored to have him as a friend. Of course, when you said that you had lost track of time, of course, you're talking about UFO. That's all he talks about.
That's his favorite band in the world, right?
Of course it is. Yeah, he talks about it all the time. And I said last time he was on, I told him, Eddie, you are the reason I even discovered UFO between him and satellite radio. And I'm not, now I'm trying to sell him to Zeus because he loves all that British hard rock stuff. So
I'm surprised, Zeus, you don't like UFO.
It's just one of those things that I've never said, oh, that's shit, I don't listen. They just never got on like, nobody had them in college. Yeah, I didn't have an older brother that got into them. So it was just something that just never fell into my stereo for some reason. But I'm sure if they are like they Tom says they are, that's definitely my wheelhouse. I love that whole, you know, white snake fucking rainbow fucking blend of British blues.
Deep Purple.
Kind of shit.
Yep, Deep Purple.
Yep. And stuff. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, I'll give it a shot, obviously. But, yeah, he when he says UFO on our show, Eddie's eyes light up like, let me tell you. I'm like, yeah, here we go. So we know what's coming. But, yep. But for us.
Especially from the Michael Schenker era. I mean, that was.
So it's funny you say that. Because I have a friend that got me into, like, Michael Schenker, I just know, oh, yeah, isn't that fucking the Scorpions brother? Realize, right. You know, he was part of Scorpions, obviously, in the beginning. But they got me into that album, Assault Attack.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember
and
that
because
one.
The reason why is because Graham Bonnet's the lead singer, and I fucking love him. That's my favorite Rainbow album. Don't ask me why, but Down to Earth is my favorite Rainbow album, and I fucking love Graham Bonnet. Well, he's gone on the show. We've talked him off the air a bunch of times. Him and his girlfriend are fucking super sweet people.
Yeah,
and
he's a character.
Yeah, I fucking love that album. And I'm like, what the hell am I doing? Listen to a random Michael Schenker album. It's the only one in the discography. I have that Assault Attack because he's on there until he, whipped out his cock in the middle of a concert and got thrown out of the band?
Well, he was doing a lot of drinking back then. So, anything is possible. But, I mean, you know, when it comes to Rainbow, I mean, gosh, that Dio period was the best. You know, with Rising and
It's number three of three. Yeah.
Oh, number three of three. Wow, Keith. Yikes.
I'll take the JLT era over here. And I'm not saying anything.
He's a rebel. So it's all good.
I'll say this. Yeah. It's amazing. I love all three. It's like three different bands. And I love all three.
Oh, yeah, totally.
There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I love it. When I hear Stargaze, that may be the best song of all Rainbow songs, right?
Or Tara Woman.
Tara, yep. Yep.
And I got a Blackmore Ace Frehley story I could tell you.
All right. That's a great way to start the show. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead.
So I'll do some name dropping. Richie Blackmore, we used to do this show called Kissmas every year, and we'd get the guys to join us. So we got Blackmore to join the show, and we became buddies with Richie. Richie's a great guy. I mean, I know.
You are a rarity then, from what I understand.
I've never had any issues. I've been to his Christmas party. I farted on his couch. I mean, you know, literally from that ZD. But anyway, he was telling me that when he was living in he was looking for a house in Connecticut.
Oh, no.
And he was looking for houses, and he came across Ace Frehley's house.
Oh,
and
no.
He really liked it.
For sale by owner. Come on, I got a nice three-bedroom apartment. Just stay away from the basement. You'll have a little problems. There's no steps.
That's pretty good. You know, I could say that you're Ace Frehley and no one would even doubt it.
Yeah. It gets around on our program.
He's been working on it for years. Yeah.
It's like Tourette's. Ace comes out on the show with the most stupid ideas and fucking things that come in my head. Ace is doing. So now Ace is a realtor. Thank you for putting that in. Nice to meet you. Ace Frehley, realtor.
Frehley Realty.
I got a two bedroom before you. I like to show you.
I was just with him on that Monsters of Rock cruise with that whole dog.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Was that before or after somebody called him a cunt? Jesus.
Well, you know, I heard.
Were you there for that?
I was there for that. But he was just like pointing at his watch and going, like, you know, I guess he was pissed that they cut into their set time. And then there was Ace went on after KK, but. Cake. It was a whole domino effect.
I heard. Yeah.
But everything got worked out. But back to the house. So Richard Blackmore goes to Frehley's house and he's like, wow, this is a pretty cool house. And he's with an entourage of people. But when he's in Ace's living room, he sees a huge shower curtain, like a humongous shower curtain in the living room. And he says to Ace, well, what is that? And he goes, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're getting some work done to the house. Don't worry. So now Blackmore's really curious about what's going on behind the curtain. So when his entourage, you know, was walking around the house, Richie goes into the living room and takes a peek. And what happened was Ace Frehley drove his car through the living room and the front end of the car was there, which he thought was hysterical. Ace Frehley. So obviously he didn't buy the house, but Ace hung up a shower curtain. I guess he was planning on getting it fixed before he sold the house.
So okay, so this is why it took – I can't believe it took this long for Keith to come on the show and tell us our new favorite Ace Frehley story.
Mr. Garage.
I got a couple of them because
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, we have a couple we've heard too. We can tell you off the air. We can't tell this one on the air. No.
No.
Did you ever get him on the show?
Yeah, we had him on a couple weeks ago when we were talking about 10,000 volts. Yeah. We just had him on about a month ago. Yeah.
Good record.
Yeah. What do you think of it? Let's quickly talk about that. What do you think?
Well, Brown hit me to the whole thing that he was working with him on it. And then, so he sent me a couple mixes before it came out. And, I listen to about five or six songs. I plan on buying it, but I like the fact that, you know, where his guitar solos sit in the mix. It's kind of like the old school Kiss vibe. And sonically, he sounds great. You know, some of the lyrics are good. It's definitely one of those records that, you know, I'm going to, you know, take on road trips with me or just to listen to really get to it. Cause I know he made it in the theme of an album, you know,
What do you guys think?
I mean, you know, I think it's cool.
I mean, I think Steve Brown worked a miracle there. I mean, the production is incredible. The songs are hooky. They're catchy, melodic. Ace sounds okay in some of them. I'm not going to sugarcoat the vocals are a little bit tough, but the songs rip. They're very, very poppy and hooky compared to like Anomaly, Space Invader, stuff like that. But I think it's a really good album. You know, kudos for somebody in their 70s making a relevant rock record. So,
yeah, I know. I hear that.
Well, yeah.
Steve, you know, grew up a big Kiss fan. So I knew he'd be the right guy to do it because, you know, he's, you know, in his mind, he knows what an Ace Frehley record should sound like. And he got to collaborate and, you know, co-produce it with him. So that's another reason why I can't wait to dive in and really just, you know, take that quality time, like long rides or being on the road. I could pop it in and really get into the theme of an album with him.
Yep.
Yeah. So let's start from the beginning. We always ask these questions of all our guests about Kiss and where it fits in with their lives and their thoughts and everything growing up. So first question we usually ask people is, did you have a favorite Kiss member growing up Ace, or even now?
Yeah, Ace Frehley.
Oh, wow.
Makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, the Love Gun record, you know, hearing that Ace is making his singing debut. And I remember, you know, when I got that album and went right to shock me, that was all I wanted to hear. Yeah. And I listened to it like six times and then I got into the record. So, he's always been my favorite because he's from the Bronx. You know, I'm from the Bronx. Yeah. There was that,
I wrote a song called Bronx Boy.
And my uncle was actually the principal at DeWitt Clinton High School where Ace went to school. So,
no way.
Yeah, Ross the Boss went there, all those guys. Yeah, so
I repeated the seventh grade. he's quite a character. All right. Do you have a favorite song?
No, I don't think I could pick a favorite song. I mean, records for me, it'll always be the first one.
Oh, that's a good one. That was the next question. Okay.
Okay. Wow.
All right. As far as song goes, we don't have to hold you as this is the favorite of all time. What I always think of Kiss is like, we always go through periods like growing up. Oh, Love Gun was my favorite song. Yeah. Now, the song that I can't turn off or I'll look to is Black Diamond, for instance. Do you have a song that comes to mind when I said favorite song? And it doesn't, you know, you're not held to this.
King of the Nighttime World.
Beautiful.
Yes.
One. Yeah.
Don't you just fucking love that? And the way the guitar after the car crash.
It's the best, man.
Awesome. And then Paul comes in and the drums are just going.
The groove, you just gave me chills. I haven't felt this Kiss since the 70s, and now, like, I got hair on my arm, you know.
And that last part where Paul just keeps around, I'm the king. It's like, when you're little, you can picture them from the cover of Destroy on top of this doomsday fucking, you know, Marvel Comics. They're on top of this fucking king going, I'm the king. I'm the king, just screaming it out to people.
And it's funny because right now over Keith's shoulder, he's got a bunch of framed albums and Destroyer's right there. One of them.
Yeah. Destroyer. Right.
See it right there next to Alice Cooper. And I can't see what else is on the other side of it.
It's his New York Dolls, his Dictators, Cheap Trick.
Like a Virgin. What else you got there?
Village People's Greatest Hits.
Hey, why not? Come on, baby.
Sade.
I also see the
Aja Goo Goo. I got the Aja Goo Goo box set signed by them. That's a beautiful moment.
I see the Shaft soundtrack above there behind you.
Yeah, that's signed by Richard Roundtree and Isaac Hayes.
Sadly, no shit. Nice.
Yeah, sadly, neither of them are with us.
Billy Joel. What is that over there? No, I see Zeppelin 4, top right.
Yeah, I see Bruce Springsteen.
That's Billy Ocean you got there. Yep.
too bad Bonham's not here, right? You know.
Us started. So we do a little side cast. Zeppelin Chronicles, just because we had to get our Zepp fix in.
Yeah.
We just talk about all the Zeppelin albums, go all the way straight through, and it's just a different beast. Like, you can't do, for us, we can't do like a podcast and just talk about music and just randomly throw Zeppelin in there. No.
They have their own thing.
You talk about a Zeppelin album, you gotta fucking put your time into it and get into dirty details.
My favorite Zeppelin album is the one I'm listening to at the moment. I mean,
there you go.
Yeah, there you go. Nice. You know,
so I hope you're listening to Zeppelin 3 then.
Oh, I love Zeppelin 3. I love Zeppelin 3.
I love it.
Since I love all, you know, the only one I really never gravitate to too much is 4 because it's just overplayed.
Thank you, Keith. You know. I said the same thing and people wanted to string me up and kill me because I was not a fan. I said,
yeah, but overrated doesn't mean you don't like it. It's just fucking overdone and overrated.
No, I don't like it.
Well, like, what do you mean? Four Sticks doesn't pump your nads, Tom?
Well, yeah, 4 Sticks and like when the levee breaks, you know, things like that that you don't hear. But I mean, like Back in Black is the same thing. You know, it's like, if I'm going to want to listen to an AC/DC record, I want to put on Power Age. If I, you know,
there you go. Yes.
Zeppelin 3, you know, I love Prince, Achilles Last Stand, Candy Store Rock.
Hots On For Nowhere, favorite deep cut.
It's awesome. It's so good. See,
we've just turned a Kiss podcast into Zeppelin, which is
awesome. All right. We do this here on time.
I knew this was going to happen when we had Keith on because we're all just music nerds and we just veer off into all the bands we love. I love it.
The bands are the same way. You know, it's like when bands talk to bands outside of their band, it's like conversations could go on for hours. I mean, like Joey Ramone, like, you know, I mean, he used to call me. He knew when my wife used to work. And so he would call me at night on Saturday night. She used to bartend. And he'd call me. And the only way I could ever end the conversation if I started talking about the Ramones. But Joey would talk about Kiss and Cheap Trick. And he loved all, you know. And I was like, all right, it's been 4 hours. I got to – hey, with the Ramones record, all right, I got to go, man. You know, but, you know, I mean, hey, we're all music nerds. And that's what
it comes to. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And if you don't have the passion, and that's what it's really about. And I always say, like, you know, people that are like, oh, fucking this music sucks. This music's great. I don't care. I'd rather be you. If you really love something, that's awesome. What do you need me to agree with you for?
Right.
Well, I mean, enjoy it, guys. I mean, you know, you were just talking before about King of the Nighttime World and, you know, with Paul and the Mountain and the post-apocalyptic world. I mean, fired me up, and you guys have been talking about Kiss forever. I mean, you still have that passion. I'm
every week. All
believe
the time,
me,
yeah.
For the people that listen to this show, think we fucking hate the band by this point. because as much as we love them, then all of a sudden Paul will post something that you want to fucking roll your eyes. We were just talking about it earlier that he posted a photo of him like he's in vacation in Dubai. Like, oh, this is the most beautiful vacation.
Everyone's like, where the fuck are my DVDs from the Dubai show?
Dickhead, dude, are you fucking tone deaf? You guys have all that money from the Dubai shit you stole. And you're bragging that you're over there vacationing. Like, but you gotta have fun with it, man.
I'm sure you got a good discount.
I'm telling you, if you want to be entertained, Keith, go on Paul's Twitter, check that post of him with the picture in Dubai, and read the comments.
All right.
He's getting bludgeoned.
That's my first order of business.
If he's not riding his electric bike and checking out the nearest gelato stand, whatever fucking rock and roll thing he's doing these days.
So I guess he's not your favorite member of Kiss.
Oh, we love him.
Oh, no, we love him, but he's just annoying.
He's one of the least probably criticized on the – him and fucking – no, but everyone is like, oh, you either hate Ace or you hate Peter or you hate Paul. Look, it's Kiss. If you take this shit too serious, there's something wrong with you.
Right.
See,
right.
I see. For me, I love the Star Child. I hate Paul Stanley.
So I guess you didn't like the Soul Station record.
I liked it.
It was okay. No, it was okay.
I loved it. I grew up on that R&B stuff. So
yeah, exactly.
His voice sounds great. You know,
I thought his band was spectacular on that album.
I think the production's fantastic on it.
Yep.
I love Temptations and Motown and all that.
Right.
Shit.
Yeah.
And he did a good job with it. Even his original songs fit that mold.
Yep.
Now, is he going to sing that shit live and loud? Probably not. But I don't give a fuck. I don't sit there and live in that imaginary world where someone tells me something should offend me. Right. If Paul Simon,
I think it's a lot easier for him to sing because of the register. He doesn't have to, you know, try to reach those ridiculous.
You might be right.
Totally. So, yeah.
And he probably sung that stuff his whole life, you know?
So yeah. I think the next question, so you already told us the debut, which we did an episode on because it was only about not too long ago. It was the 50th anniversary. For some reason, the debut album somehow gets like overlooked. So when people talk about Kiss albums, They'll usually gravitate to certain albums, and that's either Love Gun, Rock and Roll Over, Destroyer, or they'll jump to Creatures of the Night, right? And things like that, or Revenge.
But the debut album just doesn't
get like the recognition, but everybody loves all the songs on there.
Every single song they love.
Yeah,
I think it's almost like two reasons why it gets overlooked. It could be similar to the thing with Zeppelin IV. The songs are like so. The songs are performed live in every concert. The songs are on every compilation. They're on every live. You can't escape the songs. So it's almost like, yeah, I like it, but I don't want to tell you that it's my favorite because it's everywhere, you know?
Right. The weird thing about that record is like, yes, you're absolutely, those songs are everywhere, but I'm so used to hearing it in that sequence with Strutter all the way down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like, yeah, I can hear it on the radio, those songs individually, but as a record, you know what's coming next. And there's just something magical about it. You know, the Mike Douglas show, you know.
That Firehouse version.
And him and Tony Fields, right? I mean, that was
Tony. Tony Fields, yeah.
Did I say Tony Fields?
Yeah.
Tony Fields.
That's your brother.
Right.
But you're right. But the other thing we talked about is the reason why he doesn't get the love is because those songs are more known from Alive. Yeah. Because Alive is where most people learn those songs. And then they're like, oh, let's go try the albums that they were actually off of. And they're not used to that version of those songs. They're used to the Alive version versus the next three albums. We learned those albums from Destroyer, those songs from Destroyer, Love Gun.
And then Alive 2 came on.
So I think that makes the debut album, you're not used to hearing 100,000 years off the debut.
Right. I totally get that. Yeah. I love the live too, man. I thought side four was like the half a record they never released. You know what
totally
I mean?
Totally agree. Those songs.
So let's go back. Alive one or Alive two? Where do you go?
I mean, what I'll listen to, I know Alive one is better, iconic, quintessential, but if I'm going to listen to Kiss Alive, I'm going to listen to Alive two.
That's the right answer, Keith.
It's nice having you, Keith. Great meeting you, brother.
but listen, I understand how that record inspired so many trillions of guitar players. And, people never get sick of it. I have friends of mine all day long that could listen to that album. My buddy Bob Pantella can, you know, from Monster Magnet, could quote every little nuance or emulate every little nuance. My buddy Sean from the band Mars Needs Women. I mean, they can listen to that record on a loop day after day. And I've heard it so many times. So when I hear Alive too, it's fresh. And then,
you hear Larger Than
Life and Rocket Ride and, All American Man. It's like, I don't know. It's a different twist.
Yeah.
So that's the other thing too, though. I don't know where the love and infatuation came from side four of Kiss Alive too.
Because it was new music. It was almost like discovering hidden tracks.
Right.
Rocking in the USA.
Yeah, that's not good.
And right, Journeys Any Way You Want It, whatever the fuck he calls it. Those three songs. Now that song. Oh, that song was probably ace.
And All American Man.
All American Man.
That's badass. And Larger Than Life.
Right. Yeah, that's okay. Stop it.
What's the matter with you?
It's all right. But this is why we have our fun. It's not. Do you like God of Thunder? Like, that's a great song. Yeah. Like Destroyer. Yeah, that's a great album. Like, we have these debates, and our listeners, they know Tom's the love gun guy. I'm the destroyer guy. He's the alive two. I'm alive one. But it's okay. You can like anything you want. And just as long as you have fun with it, who gives a fuck, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Now, how many concerts have you gone to? Have you seen Kiss live?
Oh, man. I couldn't really give you an exact number. I mean, the first time I saw them was on Dynasty.
Wow.
With New England opening. I was a little kid. And then,
dude, you can't be older than us, are you?
I don't know. How old are you guys?
We just turned 50.
We'll be 51 this year.
I'm a few years older, yeah.
Okay.
And you saw Dynasty? Wow.
Yeah, I was 79.
Yeah.
Yeah, 79. I
grew out of them by then.
I wasn't a teenager. How's that?
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at that.
Good for you.
But, I mean, I have friends of mine, like my buddy Danny from Angel, caught Paul's guitar on the Alive 2 tour.
Wow.
Or he caught the neck or something. He got a piece of it from that night.
Yeah,
You know, he's a couple years older than us. But, yeah, that was great. And then, I've seen them in the clubs. I saw them when they played the Pony for Hot in the Shade, when Buck Dharma's band opened. I mean, I've probably seen them maybe 15 times, 10 times.
Okay.
10 times.
Did you see him on End of the Road?
No. I did not.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
You didn't catch him in Madison Square Garden at the end there either, huh?
No, but the funny thing is Eric Singer, I was playing a gig that night and I play in a band with this guy, Tiny, who played in TSOL and Rhino Bucket.
Yeah.
And we're about ready to play a fucking brewery in our little local band. And he's texting with Eric Singer, you know, right before he's going on, because Tiny and Eric are very good friends. And And Eric's telling him, have a good gig. I mean, he's doing the first and the last two fucking shows that they're playing, which I thought was hysterical. Like, Tiny's like, oh, I'm talking with Eric Singer. Look. And he's like, oh, have a good gig, Tiny. Meanwhile, we're playing some brewery to like 100 people. And he's playing like the Garden, which was really
You probably had more passion at your show than they had at theirs.
So you guys went? You didn't like it?
We were in New York for the entire week, and we saw both shows. And they were the same shows that we saw 4 years
Manchester,
ago, the end of the road. Yeah, nothing different. Same exact.
And Mohegan Sun, Manchester. We saw End of the Road how many times? Maybe
five, seven times. Five or six.
If you count the cruises, 8 times at least, can tell the difference.
No, same show. It's like going to a movie theater and seeing Star Wars. You love it, but by the 6th or 7th time, you're like, I've seen this.
Right.
Yep.
You know what's coming next.
You know what's coming next.
You get into it as much as you can, but you just. You fool yourself and like they're gonna do something different. They got to do something different. They got to.
At least
they got to say something different. Nothing.
I mean, at least for us for the final show, we were second row on the floor, second row right there. So I mean, at least we got our own personal memory of being like, you know, feeling the heat from everything, seeing right in front of Gene's face. So that made it awesome for us. But we're all sitting there waiting. Are they gonna do something? Are they gonna do something when the curtain drops?
Peter coming out, right?
Yeah, somebody coming out. Are they going to do something? Are they going to say something? No, we're going to show you a picture of the fucking avatars and give you a QR code to scan. That's what we're going to do for you on the last show.
You know, I've made fun of all the shit that they sell for years, but the funny thing is I wind up fucking buying it for some reason.
We all do, of course. You
know, dude, there's a fucking gold bar over there that I paid stupidly for. Yeah.
I mean, you laugh at it, but they always got you for some reason, you know?
That's a great point. That's one of the reasons why I think our show has lasted this long, because we constantly bitch about the stupid things they do. And then we're like, oh, let's go to New York City for the weekend and go see them twice.
Did you catch the whole New York experience of it though? Like the cabs
Yeah.
We got into that. We were like in the middle of Histard Central. We were right there in front of it all with all the stupidness, people fighting over pizza boxes and stupid shit.
People like, hey, can you get me a Subway ticket with Ace with fucking Eric Singer? I'd be like, what are you doing?
Listeners sending us DMs. Like, I know you're at the last show for Kiss, but in the meantime, can you walk down 18 blocks down the corner? I heard there's some fucking Kiss fucking bottle caps available. Can you pick me up some? How are you fucking dick?
Hey, do you guys mind if you can? Can you scoop up some of that confetti when Rock and Roll All Night plays?
What? Grab me one of those gold fucking balloons from the concert. Just stick it under your fucking jacket. No.
Keith, we're not making up any of this.
That's why I get a kick out of it. I love it. How about Subway tokens? Were people wanting you to get the Subway tokens?
Oh, yeah, the little Subway cards.
So yeah, the newspaper ones were my favorite because there was like three different editions of the Post with the covers. Oh, yeah. I got two of them. Can you walk down, take three subways and get to this spot and trade this with the fucking the bum in the corner? I heard he's hiding like 15 stacks of the third edition. Trade with him. Oh, yeah, I'll be right on that.
You guys should have gotten enough stuff to sell it where it could have covered your whole trip.
Oh, Keith, believe me, you have no idea the amount of people there that were, they would open up like a newspaper box and walk away with a stack of like 50 newspapers. That was happening.
People were buying bad shit. Guys, you can go to the dollar store, get some of the gold balloons, say, yeah, this is from night one.
Yeah.
$100. Here we go.
Oh, there's confetti.
There's probably people doing that on eBay right now.
I got this confetti off of Gene's shoulders. Here it is.
I can't believe they didn't do anything different, though. You know,
nothing, I mean, nothing,
or
nothing.
Say something, or do a video montage, or give a tribute to the crew, previous member. Just, you know, and it just makes you feel like, dude, maybe I am that sucker that people that don't like Kiss call us, like, right? Maybe we are fucking idiots.
Oh, but we are.
You think they'll ever do another show?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, without makeup. Yeah, I think they'll do something.
No, I think they'll do it with makeup. I think they'll do Vegas. I think they'll do a couple spots here on
the things we're hearing is that they can't.
Well, yeah, that's what I had heard, because they signed a contract. Because
they
paid a lot of money to make sure that they can't say, or they can't do another show under Kiss.
I'm thinking they can't tour. They'll do one-offs. That's what I think.
Maybe. Right. I don't know.
I think they'll still do a Vegas residency. There's too much Vegasness amongst them in that era, and it makes too much sense.
Dude, the Eagles are doing a residency. Kiss can't sell out the Sphere.
They can do a residency. I'm not saying Kiss is doing the Sphere.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah, it doesn't have to be the Sphere. Yeah, it could be the friggin' Red Robin at the fucking on the Strip. They can do
or the getting free the pizza place in Midtown.
They can do that. Here's your pizza box.
Get a free hometown buffet dinner for a week if you buy tickets to Kiss and get a certified platinum edition of fucking asshole. I don't know.
And then Paul just, all right, Love Gun, woo! And then there you go.
We're going to do Love Gun!
What was cool, though, is, you know, when I got to do that show with them at the Whiskey.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, when they did the promo and they had the Kiss. I'm going to get to that. Keep talking, Keith. I got questions about that.
But there was one really funny thing about that, the late, great Taylor Hawkins, because they closed down the streets and Kiss was staying at the hotel down the block. Yep. From the Whiskey. So Morello, me and Tom did it, and he ran down the block to, you know, ask them questions for the show, and the streets were all shut down. So they had me given like play-by-play of them walking up the street, walking into the Whiskey.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, like, everybody's lined up, but all of a sudden this little guy is walking up the street, and as it's getting closer, it's Taylor Hawkins.
Oh.
And I said to him, and if you heard the original, before it got edited, I said, how the fuck did you wind up here? And he goes, you know how much cock I had to suck to get this far? You know, and which was really funny, because it was just me, Kiss, and Taylor Hawkins walking up the hill.
God love him. God rest his soul, man. Damn. Oh.
That whole band loves Kiss. David Grohl to Schiff.
They all love him.
Well, last thing I wanted to ask you in those original questions is, do you have a favorite Kiss memory?
There's a couple of them. One of them I can't talk on the air, but it was pretty funny. Kiss memory, man.
Could be as a child getting an album, could be as a performer meeting them.
You know, it's kind of cheesy, but, you know, Christmas of 70, when did Alive 2 come out? 77, right?
Yeah, 77, yep.
Yeah, I was told, you know, because I was like, you know, bad kid, I wasn't getting Kiss Alive 2. That was the only thing that was on my list. And then, you know, we're at my brother's house for Christmas. And then when they handed me Alive 2 for Christmas, it was such a magical moment that I almost got a little bit, you know, emotional, because that's all I wanted. So
they're like, psych.
Yeah.
Psych, here's Peter Criss's solo album, kid.
I mean, then 1998, when they reissued the stuff on CD with the tattoos and stuff.
Yes.
Someone got me that, which was really cool. I mean, but there's so many memories. You know, the music is, you know, I've been in certain moments of my life where, you know, Kiss was the soundtrack. There's so many of them. I mean, it's really hard. Maybe it'll come to me another one.
That's okay. Yeah.
I apologize. I rudely cut you off. I heard you say something about Hotel California.
Oh, yeah. That was the two records I got for Christmas in 77. Kiss Alive 2 and Eagles Hotel
California. You are the second person in the world other than me that likes Kiss and the Eagles.
Oh, no.
Because I find that people don't like the two.
I mean, look, you know, I look at it like if you like whatever kind of music, you know, people say guilty pleasure. To me, there's no such thing as a guilty
pleasure. Oh, I hate that term.
Yeah. If you dig something, you dig it, whatever it is. You know, I mean, I never, you know, use the word guilty pleasure. I mean, if I like something, I like it.
So you know, like the Eagles? Big fan?
No, I'm not a big fan, but I liked, you know, I liked the Joe Walsh era. And I liked, you know, the early songs are undeniable and. You know, musicianship-wise, they're phenomenal.
Something about a band, though, you can have different members sing songs, right? Four or five guys to sing songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Kiss.
And the Beach, I mean, and the Beatles. I mean, there's really
and the Beach Boys. Yeah, technically.
And the
Beach Boys,
Well, and the Who. We just on one of our other one of our other side casts, we do a monthly show called the Album Review Crew. We just talk about different albums, and we recently did Who's Next. I mean, you got three of the four guys.
I want to see that. There's a reaction that we got from you. What do you think of that album?
Oh, I love. I mean, my wife would endlessly.
Oh my God! I can't believe you pulled that song.
Tom can't stand. I love John Entwistle. I think it's a great song and a melody. I love his voice on that. I think it's great.
That is phenomenal. That's the song you picked. I think that's great.
I mean, you know, the one thing about John is, you know, I got to know him from radio. And,
really?
Okay. Okay.
I'm quoted in this book called Britmania because the first time he came down to do our radio show, he asked, you know, how to make a pot. He wanted to make his own pot of coffee. So when the coffee was done, he took out a bottle of cognac and he poured the whole fucking bottle in the cognac of the cognac into the coffee with milk and sugar. And he gave me one. He's like, I was like, there's a, but a third one, I couldn't even see straight, man. It was like a whole other world, but he's the kind of guy that if he, and I swear to you, if he was in his tour bus and he saw four fans waiting at the corner to meet him, he would stop the bus and get out because he gave a shit about his fans more than anybody.
Really?
Wow.
He was the nicest, greatest, coolest guy ever. And it was, he died, right? He was only like, what, 55 or 56?
He was young when he went. But
what a way to go, right? Prostitutes and cocaine. I mean, yeah, there you go.
There you go. He's fucking a legend. But we talked about the fact that that fucking live concert footage of Won't Get Fooled Again where Townsend flies on his knees across that, then fucking that scream, and you got Daltrey flinging the fucking microphone.
Rock and roll, baby.
And what do you call it? And Entwistle's just fucking banging that bass, and fucking Crazy Moon, who has to tape his headphones to his head. Right. How insane was that band live to look at that footage? I'm like, that is the greatest fucking video.
Growing up, they were my favorite band, hands down. I hate to say it, way more so than Kiss, because
when I got introduced
to The Who, and it was, I guess it was Meaty Beaty Big and Bouncy compilation.
Yes, yes.
And I was like, Tommy. I mean, like, you know, that record spoke to me as a kid. I mean, you know, every nuance of that album. And Quadrophenia. I mean, Townsend was a fucking genius. He was like the greatest.
Yeah.
Rhythm guitar player. I mean, you know, just everything about that band I adored.
Yeah,
there's a great documentary. There's a great documentary. I don't know if it's on Amazon Prime. I can't remember, Zeus. And
It was on Amazon.
Yeah, it's all about the making
like
of
classic
Who's
albums
Next.
And making on.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The classic great. Albums on DVD, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and it's there's a part where Daltrey's like singing Behind Blue Eyes, and he's like, listen to fucking what Keith is doing. And he's just got this smile, like, still after all these years. Just like fucking look at the genius behind this guy on the drums. Yep. And you don't even think about it. That song is something out of the ordinary, but he's just fucking like, this guy is just incredible. And then Townsend is just talking like, what fucking language is this guy speaking in? Because he's like, I just switched this on. Hey, I'm doing this. I'm doing this. And you're like,
he's the best guitar player in the world, man. He's just unbelievable. He uses like really heavy guitar strings. I mean, it's amazing that he could play any leads because I think that, you know, of the depth of the strings, but he's just, you know, you get me. I mean, The Who, everything. Did you hear the last record they did in 20?
No.
I love that. I mean, Who Are You was such a great album to me.
Yeah.
I thought that this was the best record they've done since Who Are You, instead of It's Right or
Really? Face Dances.
Yeah. I thought, you know, if you give it a listen, you give it four or five listens, you'll see what I'm saying. It's a classic. Wow.
So Daltrey is coming around here.
He's right. Touring.
And doing an acoustic set. Roger is. And Tom and I'm like, do we really want to see? I'm like, I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming his voice is rough, just like You Better, You Bet.
Right.
But I'm like, do we want to see that? What do you think of that show? Would you think it's pretty decent?
I mean, come on, let's be honest. I mean, Roger's what, pushing 80?
Yeah.
You got to go see him, man. Any opportunity you got to see these icons, take advantage of it.
Keith, that's exactly my mentality. Even if the show is not, you know, 100% up to par, you're seeing Roger Daltrey live in front of you with a guitar playing Who songs. That's the way I look at it.
I just find him to be so underrated as a vocalist. I think he's one of the greatest frontmen, just up there with all the greats.
It's because of when he came out. That was an era of frontmen, you know?
That blonde mane, like that Robert Plant frontman fucking just swinging his mic and that powerful booming voice, man. Oh.
You know, it's crazy because everything from the 70s was good. I mean, even disco,
everything.
Listen to it back now. But I mean, all these records that nobody heard of, like bands like Highway Robbery or Granicus and, you know, all these like a band like Dust to Richie Wise, you know, that.
I don't know who that is.
Kenny Turner, Richie Wise, producer for Kiss.
I'm hearing that alone. Without Kenny Turner, I don't put the two together.
Yeah. But like, it just seems like every rock record that I discovered from the 70s is really good. I mean, the shit that I hated back then, like Pablo Cruz, I'm like, this was really good. These musicians.
Dude, Pablo Cruz is fucking fantastic yacht rock.
Pablo
shit.
Stanley? Yeah.
Which one?
Love Will Find a Way? Come on, baby.
We had a couple listeners send us something on social media. It was like the Spanish Paul Stanley. Was like Pico Stanley or Pablo
Chris Pico Stanley. Jorge Simmons.
These are the names they take on.
But you're absolutely right. So when you go, we were saying this, like when we think 70s, you're like, oh, the big bands of the 70s, the Eagles, Zeppelin, Kiss, Aerosmith, Fleetwood Mac stuff. But you're forgetting the Who in the 70s, the Stones in the 70s, those huge 60 bands were even almost like a complete different band, but even bigger. In the 70s, right?
Absolutely.
And there are other artists like that from the 70s that you like. Elton John in the 70s. Other fucking incredible artists.
What happened to music, man? This was our pop music back then.
It all died after Kurt Cobain died. That's all.
Oh, stop it. I'm not getting into that.
No, but I mean, I think he was really the last true rock star.
Gene Simmons.
You never knew when, you know, what he was up to is before social media, before the internet. You know, I mean, you know, Axel, you know, I mean, but Kurt, you know, he joined the 27 Club. He left that legacy. Yeah.
I was in college, and this asshole is the one who broke the news to me.
Yeah,
and I didn't believe him. And I turned on.
Were you guys Nirvana fans?
Oh, hell yeah. Still are. Yeah.
We used to go to Harvard Square and go buy bootlegs of Pearl Jam, Nirvana and stuff. We were into like the hair metal stuff as it came into the 90s.
Right.
So we go into college in 91. We meet. But the one thing connection we had is like we always, what was the song Dreamweaver? Tom and I's eyes open up.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, Gary, Kiss. Right?
Yeah, yeah. Like Kiss. Yeah, yeah. You like Kiss too? You're the one.
You're
and
the
me
one
and him
person
buddies from that. But we both were into that same music. I got into country during the 90s. He got into hip hop, but we had the Sting stuff. And then, like, when Nirvana and all them bands broke out when we were in college. It was the great, like, there was just a classic album after classic album being released. All of a sudden, Versus is out. All of a sudden, Purple's out. All of a sudden, fucking
Soundgarden, Super Unknown comes out.
Yeah. And In Utero comes out. Like, it's just one classic album after the next. We fucking loved it. We would go to Harvard Square and we'd buy the CD singles. What's this fucking yellow piss Ledbetter shit? What the fuck is that?
Right.
Buying all sorts of shit, CD singles. Man, we loved it. And then
that was really the last, like, glorious moments of rock and roll, and people put it down and like, you missed out, man. That was 70s rock. I mean, that was, you know, Kurt Cobain didn't want to destroy hard rock or heavy metal. He, you know, he's got Kiss on the Nevermind cover. I mean, they were all Kiss fans.
That's right.
He loved Celtic Frost. It wasn't like it was the industry that plotted. They shot themselves in the foot.
I always love this debate. Totally. So I want to hear it. So I still say, like, after the 90s, I'll say this to Tom. Tom tells me, he introduced me to a lot of new bands, and they are music. I'm just being an old curmudgeon. But to me, the 90s are the last of the great rock bands. The last great band is the Foo Fighters, and they came out in the 90s, technically.
Right.
Since then, as Gene says, you know who the members are of the Foo Fighters. Who the fuck is the bass player from Coldplay? Who, like, right. I don't fucking know who these people are. I don't know who these rock bands are. I know who Green Day is still. I know who they have. I like those bands survived that shit. They still okay. But I don't remember any of these new bands who the rock artists are. I mean, who's the fucking guy that used to be on The Voice? The fucking, the good looking guy. What's his name? Adam Levine.
Oh, Adam Levine. Right? From fucking he's Room a, 5.
Like a good looking guy, but he's just like a rock star because he is, but not his band.
No,
he's in his band. I don't know who he is.
No.
I mean, I'm not lying to you. You could play me a Creed song. I could not tell you who the band is. Coldplay. Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because, you know, after the 90s is like, that's it. I reverted back to everything. Dude, but there is a lot.
You're my spirit animal. I love you.
But I do love bands like the Dandy Warhols. I love the Brian Jones.
Yeah, I have them too. I like them.
I love Jellyfish. I thought they were great. Imperial Drag was with an offshoot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The bands are out there, but all those bands that you named, and this is where I come on both sides of streaming. I know some people hate it. Some people love it. I love it because you just brought up a band like Imperial Drag or the Dandy Warhols. Like, I don't have any of their physical stuff, but I'm like, shit, Keith just brought up the Dandy Warhols. I'm going to fucking go listen to them on Spotify right now. Like, it opens up a world of stuff for you to have that access. Like, you mentioned, like, Imperial Drag. You're like, fuck, I haven't heard those guys since forever.
That was the greatest 70s record made in the 90s.
I mean, the 90s, yeah.
That was Argent. That was, you know, Badfinger. And it just rocks. I mean, you know, it had Eric Dover in the band. I mean, his voice was incredible, and it was just, you know, it was Jellyfish electric, and it was like, and it, like, all their inspirations of the 70s really shined through. That was probably my favorite record in the 90s, you know.
Wow.
I loved Radiohead, too, though. I mean,
I can't deal with them, I remember Creeping, that was it, and I fell off after that.
No, the one after, you know, the one
The Benz. The Benz, OK Computer.
Yeah, those were great records, you know, and the bands were thinking in terms of records. They weren't thinking in terms of singles. Like,
exactly. Yes.
That's what happened to me in the 80s. I just got so sick of it after like 85. I'm like, I can't listen to this shit no more. I mean, I appreciate being on Hair Nation because a lot of those bands that went over my head, I learned, you know, I realized how great Cinderella is. And I learned
this,
but way after the fact, because I was out of it. I went back to the Stones and the New York Dolls and Sweet and T-Rex and Slade and punk rock like the Dead Boys and the Pistols. That's where, you know, through the 90s. And then when I heard my friend bought the Bleach record, and when I heard Negative Creep, I'm like,
oh, my God. Yes.
I bought the Bleach record. I was all ready for Nevermind when it came out. I was like, and then when it got too popular, I kind of, you know, shifted away. Like with Iron
Maiden. Everybody,
you know, after Peace of Mind, I kind of lost it with Iron Maiden too, to be honest with you.
But Blue's the best song on that album, though.
Which one?
Blue.
Oh yeah.
That's my favorite. I mean, first of all, that part I completely agree, but I'm curious to hear from you.
Yeah.
What do you think killed what's called hair metal?
Just they were making shitty records. I mean,
bingo. That's the right answer.
Yeah, I mean, like. I think all the debut records are great. Faster Pussycat, you know, all those bands. But I'll take Faster Pussycat out of the equation because I thought all three of their records were good. But, you know, it became a formula instead of like artists writing for what it's in their heart. It's just been like, okay, you need to write three of this. You need a ballad. You need a video. And it all became so homogenized that it was like, you know, you can't fool people. So,
right. But then wasn't hip hop doing the same thing?
Hip hop's evolved. The styles always changed.
I'm just saying, they followed a formula too. I'm just saying, I just feel.
I love the Wu-Tang. I mean, the Wu-Tang.
Yes, Wu-Tang forever.
You know, I mean, you know, they were, you know, I mean, Run DMC. I mean, come on, these are innovators. Curtis Blow. I mean, these guys were, you know, took it to a whole different level.
Yeah, but Run DMC, by the time the 90s came along, they weren't selling shit.
No,
they,
you're
well,
right.
They were considered like hair metal. Kind of.
But they what saved Run DMC was this, how smart they are. They started collaborating with 90s hip hop stars to make themselves relevant to that new audience.
But the 90s hip hop stars weren't fucking laughing at them and calling their names and throwing darts at them in videos.
They respected them. That's right.
That's what country people do. They name drop all the old stars in their songs and try to take that and get the rub off of them. They love that shit. But hair metal got fucking shafted by both grunge and thrash. Both of them fucking just attacked hair metal and made them uncool, I feel, regardless how good the album was.
Slammed the garage door on all those bands for a long time. You know, the only one I think that was unscathed was like a band like Bon Jovi. Because if they
but he changed.
Changed, and they went like unscathed throughout that whole thing. They went over to Europe where they were adored, and like, you know what? Let's chill out from America for a while, and you know, and they made better records than they were making back when it was happening for them. But you know, a lot of those later records from some of those hair metal bands, after the debut records, a lot of them were not as good, and it became like there was a factory in Detroit that every band that, you know, with the same hair playing the same guitars, it was just, it got like pro wrestling for a little bit, you know?
But I look at it like this. I think bands like for me in that era, like I like Great White. I don't think all of a sudden they lost talent. I like Rat. I don't think they lost talent,
but they all got swallowed up by the shit bands. That's what
I agree. Got swallowed up. And so they all got fucking shafted.
Right.
So like they were uncool all of a sudden.
Yep.
The Rats, the Dawkins, the Great Whites, the you know, bands of that caliber, even Cinderella. There's talent there. If you listen to their first couple albums, there's a fucking ton of great songs there.
But I think that's why
Cinderella
those
records were great. I mean, like Skid Row guys. I mean, those guys.
Oh, I love them. Love
great friends of mine. I was in a band with Rachel. You know, we were doing punk rock stuff. I mean, and their third record, you know, they are the most sincerest, honest guys on the planet. They're not, you know, they made that Slave to the Grind record, like in the context of making an album. And then they did Subhuman Race. I mean, they're a band that could have like, you know, been unscathed throughout the whole thing. And, you know, they got swallowed up by it. Scotty was like telling me when they started the Subhuman Race tour, when they started Slave to the Grind, they were playing some stadium. They started that tour at a bowling alley. But, you know, people locally knew how these guys were legit. They were legit. You know, I mean, but it was.
But look at them now. Their new album is fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah, I mean, it was really good. And they got a great singer there, and that kid Eric. He's
But you're making a good point. All those bands that kind of got swallowed up, they were that good that they could rise above being swallowed up. You go back and listen to them now, you know, Under Lock and Key, Out of the Cellar, like Monkey Business, Slave to the Grind. Those albums still sound awesome now. Unfortunately, yes, they got thrown in a
because
in the
of the songs.
That's what I'm saying. That because bands like White Lion were sucking all the oxygen out of the room, and you know, no offense,
White Lion. All about the look. It was just how.
White Lion is Led Zeppelin compared to half the fucking band.
No offense,
that fucking Monsters of Rock cruise. There's Zeppelin compared to half.
What do you mean? You're not a big fan of Tiger Tales and Tiketto? What's the matter with you?
Fucking dude, we don't want to get him in trouble.
I know,
I'll do this after the show. We have running gag about.
We've been talking for an hour, and I think this is what happens when we go on a rip. But I do want to ask you a couple questions about Hair Nation and Boneyard. Okay,
sure.
And
if I can answer, I will.
I was just going to say that's what I was just going to say. If you can answer me, you do that. So I think it's funny how on Ozzy's Boneyard, those are my two favorite channels, that it's satellite radio, and every once in a while I'm like, oh my god, they're playing Plaster Caster. Wow. And I know you can't answer this, and if you can, I don't know, maybe you will.
I
wish that you had more freedom to do that. I'm not saying that you're gonna play, you know, friggin', you know, Man of a Thousand Faces off the Gene album on Ozzy's Boneyard.
Why not?
If it was up to me, I would.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But I
lose the man.
But I just sometimes I'm like, god damn it. Like, I don't want to hear Detroit Rock City again. Play King of the Nighttime World.
Yeah. I get it. I mean, you know, but you know what? They spend a lot of time and effort into these surveys, and that's what people want to hear. And that's
right.
They have these deep track channels now on the app where you could go Ozzy's Boneyard deep and you know, where you'll hear like bands like Junkyard and Love Hate or you'll hear like
Junkyard. I remember them.
And it's, you know, fun, it's funny you bring that up, Keith, because today at work, I usually listen to Spotify, but I because we were having you on, I don't really listen to Sirius that much at work. And you're right. All the app online channels, like that's where you get your money's worth with a SiriusXM subscription for
if
sure.
If you're a deep listener, but you know,
yeah.
I understand that people are driving or sitting in the cubicle, you know, and they want to have fun and they want to forget about being in the cubicle. So, you know, I do what I can to make them forget they're in a cubicle or bring them back to things that I know that they could relate to, you know, because we're all human beings. We all do the same shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the music is kind of like an afterthought, but a lot of people, you know, I have friends of mine that can listen to Back in Black. We were talking about Zeppelin 4 on a loop.
Yeah.
Not me. When I'm off the air, I'm not listening to any of that stuff. I'm just being honest with you. That's how I grew. I listen to Prince more than I listen to, you know, stuff.
Yes.
But I'm around it. You know what I mean? So it's,
yes.
But Sly and the Family Stone, Parliament Funkadelic, Osmium. Yep. I mean, you know, these are, you know.
So I want to hear Keith Roth on Groove. That's the channel I want to hear you on. But come on, play some of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind being on. But, I love being on Ozzy's Boneyard because that brings me back to being that kid on the train tracks and listening to Fast as a Shark by Accept we're all in that same age demographic where we grew up in, and I don't feel like I'm old by any stretch of the imagination. I just think that we grew up in way cooler times, man. And that was the bottom line, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, so one quick one, I'm going to give you a nice little layup. Diary of a Madman or Blizzard of Oz?
That's a really great question. You know, I saw Ozzy on when Diary came out, I saw him four times with Randy.
Shut the fuck.
Wow.
Yeah. The first time I saw them was at the Palladium in New York City.
New York.
And it was, I think it was a Saturday night, and there was two shows. There was a 5:30 and a 9:30. So we bought tickets for the 5:30. Like, man, our parents won't even know that we went to the show. We could walk down to 14th, be home by 11, no big deal. And when we saw, you know, Motorhead and Ozzy play together, I'm like, I don't give a fuck if I'm grounded for a year. I'm going to the second show. My friend's like, I'm right there. And the third guy we were with is like, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm like, well, go home. And he wouldn't walk up to the garden by himself. So he wound up going to the show. I got home. My parents were sleeping, man. They didn't even know I was, you know, whatever. But it was so incredible. And, obviously there's really nothing on YouTube because I look all the time. But Motorhead. And I was reading about him in Kerrang magazine, and they came out, and I felt like I was violated in the best way possible. They were so fucking amazing. And then Ozzy with Randy and Rudy and Tommy Aldridge. I had to see that second show. The first show we had like 12th row. The second show we bought like, and you could scalp tickets at that point for like $20, $25 bucks to sit all the way upstairs because the tickets were like $9, $8. And it was well worth it. But so to answer your question, I probably listen to Diary more than I do listen to Blizzard.
Cool.
Interesting.
But I think they're like a double album, really. Like
Heaven and a lot of people say that. Yep.
Yeah, Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules is like that with me too, because I think they're both amazing. So it's like, what great competition, right? Ozzy with Blizzard and Diary and Sabbath with Heaven and Hell and Mob Rules. I mean, you know, Van Halen, right? With Smile and 5150. You know, the competition is great.
Keith, I want to ask you one question. We'll let you go. We're just having a blast here. So I do want to ask you a question about your band, The Dictators.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I texted Zeus today. So Zeus and I are massive Seinfeld fans.
Okay.
You guys have a song called Festivus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I need to know the story behind this.
That was a song that Andy wrote, and obviously he's a big Seinfeld guy.
Yeah.
He said, I got this great song, Festivus, and we recorded it, and it's hysterical. You know,
it's first of all, I love, like, the song is, it kicks ass. Like, I'm not a huge punk guy, but if the song has, like, a melody or something, and a hook, I'm listening to it, and I'm like, and then I just hear they're talking about Festivus, and it's, I'm like, Zeus, you have to hear this. Like, this is amazing. Like, what a small world.
Well, the weird thing about The Dictators is, like, you know, the ironic thing that I'm in the band is, you know, I grew up in the Bronx. And Manitoba and Scott Kempner, who just passed away, they went to kindergarten with my brother. And so I got to know them throughout. They get credited a lot for starting punk rock because their first album came out in 75 before the Ramones. And they toured with Kiss, as you know, back in 78. The Dictators opened for Kiss.
Yeah.
So I was always a fan. I think Go Girl Crazy is one of my favorite records ever. But, you know, playing in that band specifically, you know, that first album, I mean, if you love Kiss and you love, you know, great, I mean, you got Ross the Boss, who's a guitar legend in the band. It's like,
yep.
You know, you're around that guy. I mean, he's right there, upper echelon of, you know, so it's a phenomenal band. But Festivus, yes.
Yeah.
It's definitely inspired from Seinfeld. There's no doubt about it.
So one more thing, and I'll pass over to Zeus. So speaking of punk rock and Sirius, so again, I'm not a huge punk rock fan, so forgive my ignorance.
No worries.
Does Sirius have a punk rock? Like if you're a punk fan, can you listen to it on Sirius XM? I mean, I know they have like
Faction.
I was just going to say Faction is on there.
You got Marky Ramone's show.
I mean, yeah, like, okay. But I feel like Faction
dives into that a little bit, you know.
Yeah, I feel like Faction.
Channel. And, you know, there was a punk channel. There was a song that we recorded with David Johansen. It used to get played all the time.
Yeah. So
I wish it was still going.
Because I remember when the channels changed a little bit. I remember, like, Ozzy's Boneyard used to be Boneyard.
Right.
And then there used to be a channel, I think it was called Buzzsaw. I think that became Liquid Metal, I think.
I was on Buzzsaw. And then when the companies merged, there was all these great channels and they had to, like, you know,
absorb each other. Yeah.
Each other. So it's like, all right, we're going to use Boneyard and Buzzsaw. Buzzsaw was such a great channel because, you know, you can hear Skynyrd into the Runaways, into Priest, like Victim of Changes. I mean, there was a lot of great stuff on there.
Awesome.
But yeah, and Boneyard. And then when Ozzy's unbelievable. They have they're very hands-on with the channel, like him and Sharon.
Really?
Yeah, oh, I'm sure that's why we hear Ozzy and Black Sabbath all the time on it.
Every hour you'll hear Ozzy and Black Sabbath with Ozzy.
Exactly.
So. You better play my Ozzy shit or I'm going to fucking go down and rip your enemies out.
No. I mean, I tell you, they're both really awesome people.
Of course I am. I'll rip your ass rather than you and shove it down your fucking throat.
One of the funniest things is a couple of years ago, I did my, you know, in the middle of COVID, I hosted a New Year's Eve party and I was doing it from my basement where, you know, my studio's down there. So I was Zooming with everybody and it was just funny to have Ozzy and Sharon. I mean, here's my basement where, like, you know, how many years, you know, we spent playing Sabbath songs or whatever. And it's like, there's Ozzy on my computer, like looking at my basement, which I thought was hysterical.
Awesome.
But I fucking love him. I fucking love Ozzy all the way through.
You like Crack Cocaine? You like the new song with Billy Morrison?
I do. You know what? I mean, somehow he is the luckiest motherfucker. He just...
He
stumbles into all these talented people.
Exactly.
And they know exactly what they need to get from him.
Yep.
Put out this incredible music.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just the talent that's been around him all these years, especially the early albums, you know, it's just, God bless him. I love him. And even Sharon, because no matter what, you know, he wouldn't be here. We wouldn't have all this Ozzy shit if it wasn't for her hard work either.
It's true.
So I got to give her credit. So
yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. She kept him on the path and he gave us those last two records he did are unbelievable, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I thought they were phenomenal, and Andrew Watt did a phenomenal job on those records, and the songs are great, and the playing's great, and you know, I hope he does these last couple shows in Birmingham, and you know, if you've been around the guy, he's really a sweetheart, man. He's just
I think of him as like the Dolly Parton of hard rock. Like
everybody loves
Dolly. Nobody says anything bad. I think the same thing with Ozzy. I think everybody loves him.
Yeah.
He's like, how can you not?
He's lovable, you know?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I remember the gig at Jones Beach when Stone Sour and like, can you interview Ozzy before he goes on? I'm like, absolutely. So like, just make it like 5 or 6 minutes because, you know, he's going on in 10, whatever. And we go in there and we're talking, you know, the same stuff, which he's probably so burnt out of hearing, you know, how's the tour going? And then we start talking about the Beatles. And next thing you know, he's like, it's showtime. So fucking excited to talk about like the Revolver record. And it was like, he's a fan. Like, he loves it.
If you ever get him
on your show, talk about the Beatles. You'll have him here for 4 hours. You know,
dude, I would love to.
And that's the thing that we find about this show, Keith. We'll get wrestlers, actors, comedians, rock guys. We had your buddies from Skid Row on just to talk about Kiss.
Right.
The joy that people get to just have that
gush,
release.
Just gush.
To talk about Kiss. It's like none yeah. other. Like, you can't
it's our youth,
it.
Man.
It's yeah, it's just like you said, how Ozzy is like, yeah, the tour's fucking great, you know? I don't know what accent that was. I fucking can't do it, Ozzy voice. But then you talk to him about the Beatles, and all of a sudden he's like a little child. I want to talk. There's my release. That's what we get with people when we get to talk about Kiss. There's just something about them. It's a band like no other that you have this passion, this love, and you can laugh and tell these stories. What other band can you like? What was your favorite costume? Yeah. What was your favorite fucking makeup? Who's your favorite, you know, era? Yeah. You know, no other band is like this. Really?
I mean, I love them up to Dynasty. I mean, you know, I got lost for a while, but I'll never, you know, after
Dynasty, same here.
A lot of people did. Yeah.
But then I came home one night. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, probably coming back from a keg party. And I'm sitting in the basement watching MTV, and they played I Love It Loud.
That video.
You saw on MTV, the video? Really?
I saw it on MTV, and I was blown away. I'm like, wait a minute, man. Kiss is back.
Yep.
So when I was at, my record shopping list, because I'd buy 3 or 4 records a week, I'm like, I got to get the new Kiss. And that cover was so fucking amazing. The Night, the blue cover. And I'm like, I got to buy this. And I loved it because, you know, the music scene was changing. You know, bands like Priest and Maiden were breaking through.
Yep.
And here they are kind of like, Kiss is back. You know, they changed their sound, but it's still Kiss. And that Creatures record got me back. And then there was a Woolworths in my neck of the woods. And
I
heard about the Elder record. I always wanted to hear the Elder because, you know, Lou Reed, I love the Velvet Underground, was writing with Kiss. Yep. And Ezra.
Yep.
I never buy this, but in Woolworths, it was like Gene and Peter's records were $1. The Elder was $1. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait. And I love the Elder. It's a guilty pleasure.
Same here. Same here, brother.
I like some of it. I tolerate some. Some of it's really good. Some of it's like, ah.
Just a boy. I mean, have you ever heard the Pretty Things, like you were talking about the Who before?
Yeah.
Like Quatrophenia and Tommy. They made their first rock opera before The Who did, and it was called SF Sorrow. And it was, you know, it predates The Who. I definitely Townsend was inspired by it. But Kiss, I've talked, you know, not to name drop, but I've talked to Gene about SF Sorrow.
Yeah.
No doubt, when they wrote up, you know, Just a Boy, was inspired by the Pretty Things SF Sorrow. And that's a great fucking record. You'll love it. And realize it came out a year before Tommy. So it's a whole story to it, and it's great.
Wow. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because Tom and I tell the same story. I dropped off after Dynasty.
Yeah.
I didn't get back into him until my cousin was playing Animalize Live in 85 at his house. I'm like, the fuck is this? And he's like, this is Kiss.
Right.
Like, they're still around? And I'm like, holy shit. Yeah. And then I went back.
I saw them at Wasp on that tour, right? And, I was at Soundcheck when they played the Pony, when they did a couple of club gigs for Hot in the Shade. I saw, you know, but the best I've ever saw Kiss, was when the 96 tour at the Garden.
Oh, the reunion.
The reunion.
Yeah. That was the first time I saw them. Yeah.
And I left there, like, I was so fucking excited when they
were. We all were. Yep. We all were. Yep.
And D-Generation Open, who are friends of mine, you know.
Yep.
See, and I was just like, man, I felt like I was 11 years old again. And they were perfect. You know, there was just absolutely, they were probably as good as they were in the 70s at that point, you know.
Agreed. Or, yep.
At least I felt that way, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed.
Wow.
Perfect. That's a perfect way to wrap it up. Keith, this has been unbelievable. We could be talking to you fucking all night, probably.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
But
you know what? When you said an hour, I'm like, really? I thought it was up for 10 minutes. It was
great. But I tell you, this has been a thrill. I've been a fan of you for years, so it's been a pleasure for me personally to meet you, shoot the shit about Kiss, rock, you name it, everything. He is Keith Roth. Keith, tell everybody where they can find you if for some reason they don't know where to find you.
Well, you can hear me every fucking day. On Sirius XM from noon to 6 Eastern time on Hair Nation Channel 39, from 6 to midnight on Ozzy's Boneyard Channel 38. And then, of course, working with my good friend David Johansson from the New York Dolls. We do his Mansion of Fun show together Wednesdays at midnight on the Spectrum. And, come out, see the Dictators, Frankenstein, the new Dictators records coming out in May. We're going on tour with the Damned, and we made a really cool record. You know,
nice. Awesome.
Here's my shameless self-promo.
No. Good for you, man. Love it, man. He is Keith Roth. Keith, thank you so much. This has been a blast. Good luck, buddy. Thank you so much.
Great, man. I love you guys. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
keep on keeping on. You guys are brilliant.
Thanks, man.
Tom, that was Keith Roth. What did you think?
Oh, my God. We covered everything. I mean, we went from Kiss, hair metal, grunge, The Who, Zeppelin, touring, childhood things that we like. One of the funniest things that just made me laugh out loud is when we brought up Who's Next and what was the first song he brought up?
Oh, of course, My Wife.
I just burst out laughing. And then he was talking about John Entwistle. It was great. We covered everything. I love those kind of stream of consciousness conversations with just three rock nerds talking about everything that we love.
How about the Richie Blackmore Ace story?
Oh my God.
The car in the kitchen
with the shower curtain. I'm just doing some reconstruction. He pulls it back. His fucking car is there.
Oh, fuck. I missed the garage by about 40 feet. Fuck.
Oh, Keith. Right. Keith was a blast, though, man. If you guys are SiriusXM subscribers, I'm sure you know him. He's always on Boneyard and Hair Nation. He's a friggin' riot. Huge rock fan, huge Kiss fan, punk fan, everything. Tons of fun.
And he's the type of guy, we'll have him back on again. We had a ton of fun with him. So totally. You'll see him back here soon enough. The great Keith Roth. Tom, what we do next is we go to question of the week.
Yeah, and our question of the week is sponsored by the great Shout It Out Loudcast Hall of Famer, Tony the Taxman Barone of abcpainc.com. By the time you hear this, it's going to be almost April, or it might be April by the time you hear this. And tax season is coming to a close here. He's your man. Doesn't matter which of the 50 states you live in, he can take care of all of your tax preparation needs, your individual tax needs, estate tax needs, business. And Zeus and I can speak from experience. He took care of us last year, and he's in the process of taking care of us right now. He is the man. Go to his website, abcpainc.com. There's links there where you can send him messages. You can give him a call. You can research everything he has to offer for you. He's the best, responsive, badass. He's awesome. Plus, he's a huge fan of Avenged Sevenfold, Tool, and, of course, Kiss and Shout It Out Loudcast. So check him out, Tony the Taxman. And our question of the week comes from a Facebook DM from Tracy Law. Greetings, Tom and Zeus. I thought of a question I'd like to get you guys' thoughts on. Back in the 70s and 80s, it was virtually impossible to see the members of Kiss out of their makeup. Do you remember the first time that you saw them without it? I remember seeing a picture of Paul with Donna Dixon, and I was shocked to see his face. I don't think I actually saw Gene until the Lick It Up album. I saw Ace when he left the band and started Freely's Comet, and for the life of me, I can't remember the first time I saw Peter without his makeup. Just wondering what you guys remembered about seeing them back then without makeup.
So Peter, I bought when I had vinyls when I was like in teenager, Let Me Rock You. I think that's the first time I saw him. Like, he has a beard and he looked like Doug Keynes from the Bruins.
Yeah, back he's then. Wet coming out of the bathtub or whatever the fucking terrible album cover.
Yeah, so that one, I remember Ace, the first time I saw him was in one of those magazines. Do you remember that photo of him on top of those speakers and he had that like Z guitar?
Oh, yeah.
Hanging out on the speakers. That was the first time I saw what he looked like.
Okay.
And then Paul and Gene is when I was in Detroit, visited my cousins, and they put on, and he had on Animalize Live. And I was like, who the fuck is that?
Yep.
And then he pointed out that was, you know, Gene and Paul, that's Kiss. That's the first time I saw them.
Okay. For me, the first time I remember seeing Paul and Gene and then, of course, Vinny and Eric is when my cousin for Christmas got me the cassette of Lick It Up. And I remember he handed this to me. He's like, oh, it's the new Kiss album. I go, no, it isn't. Because I didn't know. I didn't know about the unmasking on MTV. I didn't see any of that. I was like 10 years old. And I was like, what the fuck is this? I was like, of course, you know, Gene with the tongue. And I was like, okay, that's weird. The Peter and Ace, it was similar to you, Zeus. It was just the rock magazines. It was like Hit Parader, Circus. I truly don't remember the first time I saw Peter. I do remember Ace. And I think it was probably his first album, Freely's Comet, Second Sighting or whatever. And just seeing a picture like that, I was like, oh, God damn, that boy needs makeup. Like, woof. Peter, Chris, I don't remember, but yeah, I do wish that the first time I saw them was that MTV unmasking with JJ Jackson, because that would have been kind of cool. But instead, it was my cousin handed me the cassette, and I was like, what the hell is this? But Yeah, that's a great question, Tracy. I'd like to see what other people's experiences are with discovering them without makeup, too. So appreciate that very much. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, Tom, where can people find us?
Always go to our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com. That's where you can find everything you would want to know about us and the show, all the episodes, all the Shout It Out Loudcast episodes, Dorm Damage, Album Review Crew, Zeppelin Chronicles. Everything is there. You can comment, everything. And you can also click on links to all of our superb guests that we've had on there. It'll take you to their social media and their websites. You can also click on links for our Amazon shopping page, our Shout It Out Loudcast merch, our Patreon links, our social media links, everything. Check it out. That's there. And also, you will be able to keep track of the brackets and the polls. If you're interested on how to do that, when you get to our shoutoutloudcast.com landing page, click on the big Shout It Out Loudcast logo, and then you'll see a header at the top, March Madness. Click on that. You'll be able to keep track of everything. I'll be putting the polls there so everybody can keep track of updated brackets. So please do that. And of course, our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Please send us emails, shoutoutloudcast@gmail.com. If you want to be part of our question of the week, please use any of those formats, direct messages on social media or our email. And we always like to say that we are a proud member of the Pantheon podcast network of shows.
Yeah, Tom, people can DM us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're now on Threads, TikTok, any social media company out there that you probably are part of, you'll find us. Please make sure you check out Tom's Spotify playlist that he's created. We really appreciate that. And if you could subscribe to our YouTube channel, you'll be seeing the new Ace video on there. I'll be putting more videos on there besides our just episode posts. So please subscribe to us. You'll never know what is going to be popping up there sooner or later. Give us one of those 5-star child reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can give reviews. It's greatly appreciated, and we always read them and give you a shout out on the air. I like to repeat the actual website, shoutitoutloudcast.com, shoutitoutloudcast.com. There you can see our friends of the Shout It Out Loudcast page, people like the gentleman you just heard, his photo will be up. We've had Tuck Smith on recently, the Skid Row guys who are in the news again, Britt Lightning, Ace Frehley. We've had a bunch of people on there recently. Check them out. They're there. Our Amazon store's there. And of course, our Shout It Out Loudcast merch, where you can check out our new Ace Cult shirt that I think you guys are really going to like, thanks to Hall of Famer Jeff Trott. So, guys, thank you very much. And, Tom, what we like to do is end on famous last words. Do you have any?
I do. The things are complicating. My love is in her hands, and there's no more waiting. She understands.
It's so sad living at home, far from the city. In the midnight fun, it's so bad going to school so far from me and the dirty things that we do. Keith Roth, Kiss Army, Loudcasters, Tom, thank you.
Keith Roth, what a blast. Thanks so much for hanging with us. Appreciate it. Loudcasters, Patreons, everybody out there, you guys rock. Let's have some fun with this tournament. Let's get some arguments going. As always, Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout. Hit the music. What I'd like now is for all you fat, out of shape, worldwide Kiss-tards to keep the noise down while I show your ladies what a real sexy man looks like.
Listen, all you people out there sitting on rented furniture, settle down.
Cut the music. Anybody seen Richie? Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.